popular in our world today. I'm sure you've heard it from time to time. Maybe someone talking to you about a problem that you were going through in your life. But it's not that uncommon that people will say to us things like, the most important thing is your happiness. How many of you have heard something like that? Okay, maybe not from your Christian brothers and sisters, but it's kind of a popular idea, especially the way the world thinks. The most important thing of all. Maybe when facing a difficult decision or some temptation perhaps in your life, the most important thing in your life is your happiness. And so I want to think about something related to the cross that really should help us maybe have a little bit of a different attitude about that. This, of course, is probably one of the best known scriptures in all of the Word of God. When Jesus was praying in the Garden of Gethsemane, and he asked the Father, if it's your will, take this cup from me. Nevertheless, not my will, but yours be done. Again, I think one of the most well-known statements in all of Scripture, not my will, but yours be done. And we've talked about this many times, of course. It's so vitally connected to the Lord's Supper. And often made the point that really that is a testimony to how horrible the cross must truly have been if Jesus, the Son of God, actually asked the Father to somehow make a way that he would not have to die on the cross. I just really think, considering who Jesus was and the fact that God had told him to do this, and he asked the Father, is there not any other way that this could be done? Can you possibly take this cup from me? But then we see his great faith when he said, nevertheless, not my will, but yours be done. And often as we talk about this and we think about the Lord's Supper, and we think about Jesus' attitude there, you know, we're so thankful that he was willing to go through it and he was willing to suffer and he was willing to die and pay the price for our sins. And that's certainly one of the great lessons from the Lord's Supper, something we need to be thinking about. But it's also an example for us that we need to have that same attitude when we face difficult situations, when we face great temptations. Those really need to be words that we say from time to time. I think every day of our life, we probably will find ourselves in a situation where we need to say exactly what Jesus said. Not my will, but yours be done. In fact, the scriptures tell us that that's one of the lessons we need to learn from Christ's suffering. For example, 1 Peter chapter 4, since Jesus suffered in the flesh, it says, arm yourselves with the same mind, for he who suffers in the flesh has ceased from sin. And so when we face temptation to commit sin, we need to arm ourselves, it says, with the same attitude of Jesus. When our flesh doesn't want to do something, just like Jesus suffered in the flesh, look at that, he says, arm yourselves with the same mind. In other words, we need to think just like Jesus thought. And resisting temptation means suffering in the flesh, because the flesh has certain desires. But we need to think like Jesus. I think this is what Paul is talking about in Philippians chapter 3 when he says that what it really means to be a Christian and to have the right attitude is to be conformed to the death. We are to be conformed to the death of Jesus. And that's how we receive these great blessings like the resurrection from the dead. Not just receive the benefits of the death of Jesus. And as we partake the Lord's Supper, we think about how the price was paid. But it's also a model that we are to follow. It's an example. We are to strive to do this, to become conformed to his death. And that simply means that when we face unpleasant tasks or difficult tasks or great temptations and challenges, again, we need to have that attitude of Jesus. Not my will, but God's will be done. And we need to pray like Jesus did in the garden and ask God to give us strength to do the right thing. And so let's revisit that popular philosophy from today. The most important thing, people would say, is your happiness. And I want you to think about what a contrast that is to what Paul said. The most important thing in life, really, is to be conformed to the image of Christ. And sometimes that means that we turn away from what we think will make us happy, and we do what God wants us to do. That's exactly what Jesus did. Imagine if Jesus had prayed in the garden, Father, if it be your will, take this cup from me. And if the Father had looked down and said, "Well, you know, Jesus, the most important thing in your life is your happiness. So yes, I'm going to take this away from you because I know you don't want to suffer this." But God could not say that. And it would have been inappropriate for him to do so, because if he had said that, then the price could not have been paid for our sins. And likewise, many times in our life, in conforming to the image of Christ, it's how we will be obedient to the Father and we will set a good example for others, and we can let God use us to reach others with the gospel. And so just think about how those two ideas are truly, they're diametrically opposed to one another. The world says, most important thing, you got to be happy. The Bible says the most important thing is we've got to be like Jesus. And that means, first of all, obeying what God tells us to do. But number two, being like Christ and submitting to his will so that we can help other people, so that we can be a blessing to others. But one last thought about this before we partake of the Lord's Supper. And the really ironic thing about it all is it's really by doing number two that we are going to find true happiness in this life. Because if we just stick with number one, we're not going to be happy. That's just a very self-serving, you know, selfish philosophy of life. I'm going to do whatever makes me happy. And it's by being number two that we will truly find happiness. Many times in his ministry, Jesus made this statement, "He who loses his life for my sake," he often said, "or for the gospel's sake, he'll find it." In other words, if we just cling to our life and we always do what's going to make me happy, we're going to lose our life. We're going to come to the end and realize we were just very selfish and we didn't really accomplish anything truly worthwhile. And Jesus assures us that if we're willing to lose our life, to let go of our life and say, "Not my will, but God's will be done," he says that's when we're really going to find our true purpose and our true satisfaction and true meaning. And Jesus basically said the same thing in Acts chapter 20. It's recorded for us, verse 32, when Paul quoted his words, "It's more blessed to give than it is to receive." We might think just receiving is what's going to make us happy, but we all know it's not true. We're going to be happier, more satisfied if we give. And sometimes that's a tough thing to do, but that's what Jesus was all about. And we need to learn to say, "Not my will, but God's will be done." And these passages assure us we will be happier if we do. I want you to think about how I believe really multiple times every day, that's really the choice we make. When we're going through a difficulty, when we're facing temptation, we have a hard decision to make, we got to be like Jesus and say, "Not my will, but God's will be done." Again, primarily the Lord's Supper is a time of thanksgiving for the sacrifice that was made for us, but it's also a great example, Jesus' willingness to die, that we need to apply to our life. That's what it means to be conformed to the death of Jesus. Let's bow our heads and give thanks for the bread.